Good morning, church. Good to be with you this morning. I have to say I might feel like my head's just plugged, and I just don't. Anyway, just be much in prayer for me this morning. If I get loud, I don't mean to. So anyway, praise the Lord for everything that he does. I'm going to be over in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 3rd through 6th verse. I'm going to tell you a couple of things the Lord has showed me this morning. First off, about lightning. I know Tim had mentioned that a little bit earlier there about lightning. I believe my Bible tells me that as lightning comes from the east and goes to the west, it says that shall it be when the Lord comes back one of these days, right? That's how it's going to be whenever God comes back. It's going to be that quick. And it's going to be that quick to where, you know, we need to be ready. And if you're here lost, you need to be saved. Because you have no idea how quick and how soon your life will be taken out of here. We just don't know. Another story about lightning. This is a true story. A friend of mine by the name of Keith Thomas. He was a teenager. He's probably 11, 12 years old. Him and his sister and a few other friends were outside, and they were sitting around a picnic table at their house, at his house. And he said the friends had come over, and they were just sitting there, not a cloud in the sky. He said there was one crack of lightning and one thunder. It come down, hit the ground beside him, and killed his sister. It killed her. He said it wasn't nothing else after that. That's how quick life can change. We sat here this morning and we think that, you know, everything's just fine and dandy in our lives and everything's just great. I'm telling you, life can change in a heartbeat. It can change. I tell this story often. My sister come home sick on the school bus. Come home sick on the school bus, just thinking she'd had the cold, had the flu. With less than 24 hours, she was dead because she had meningitis and they did not know it. I'm just telling you, life can change right now. It can change. And we just don't know. That's why whenever I think of lightning sometimes, I think of that story with Keith, and I think of just how precious life is, for one, and how sometimes we take it for granted. Now, before I get started on this, Paul would mention the Sound of Freedom, which I've not got the chance to go see yet, but everybody that's ever went to see that movie yet has told me the same thing. You'll come out of there crying. You'll come out of there touched. And because of the content of it, and because of what's going on in it, I'm reminded of this because this is another true story. I worked with him at Manville, and after I left Manville to go to where I'm at now, I heard a few months later that he had gotten arrested. And what he had got arrested for was he was going to Georgia to hook up with a baby. And they caught him in a sting. A baby. You're looking here and you look at me and you're saying, well, how can that be? That's terrible. How could God allow that to be? I want to preach on that this morning a little bit. I want you to understand this stuff is out there. It's out there. It's across this country and it's across this world. It's not just in this country. And sometimes we look at it and we think it's heinous, and it is. It is. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, it's out there, and it's not going to get any better till God corrects it one day, and it will be corrected. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We're going to read 3 verses. Stand, if you would. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 3. Now listen to these words. These words have been preached on a lot, and I know I've preached on them before. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? In whom the what? Of this world has blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to concentrate on verse 4 there, of course, in whom the God, the little g of this world. I'm going to say that once before I pray. I'm going to say little g, little God. I'm not going to say it no more because you'll understand what I'm saying. Because sometimes we just keep pounding it. The little g of this world. And we'll get into that here in just a little bit. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come with thanksgiving in my heart, Father. I want to praise you for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to stand before you, Lord, this morning and preach the word. Lord, you've given it to me this morning to do that, Lord. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, I ask, Father, that you would open up hearts and minds here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that Lord, that you know what, no matter what's said and done here this morning, the Father, that it would always be for the upbuilding of your kingdom. And Father, we will give you the glory and the praise for it all. And amen. Amen. You may be seated and thank you. Thank you. If you would even think about it with one scintilla of critical thought, you would realize man did not make up the plan of salvation. You think about it for a minute. If you anybody with any critical thought about them would understand that God did not make up the plan of salvation. No one would make up a plan of salvation like this, where everyone in the world is destined for an eternal hell and bound for a place that is so bad that they're tormented forever. No one would make that up. And no one would make it up. And yet no one would also make up that the only way that you can escape is by one person. You wouldn't make that up. I look around here this morning and I can tell you, I know this. And it's not because I just know mankind. I just know their thoughts. We want to make it out like everybody in our family is great. We want to make it out like everything around us is great. We want to make it, for the most part, people will do that. And you correct me if I'm wrong. We will do that. The plan of salvation is not that way. The plan of salvation is this. Everybody in the world is going to hell if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. No one, no man would have made that up. No one would make the plan of salvation up like that. They just wouldn't do that. It is God who did it. But here is how they would do it. If you leave it up to the world to invent a religion, the world's gospel message would speak like this. You're okay, Greg. I'm okay. Do your best. And one day we'll get to heaven. Wouldn't that be the world's religion? How do I know that? Because that's what they say out there today. It's out there today. Don't kid yourself. That's what they say. As long as I'm a good person, I'm going to make it in the end. Can I tell you something this morning? I hope and pray no one hears, but I hope I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Because if you're basing your salvation on just because you're a good person and in the end you're going to make it, I'm telling you, as I've said before, those who wait to the for the 11th hour usually die about 10:30. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need washed in the blood. Goodness isn't going to do it. As long as you do your best, ain't going to do it. That's the kind of religion. You see, the biblical gospel is not anything that man would ever come up with. We think way too much of ourselves. We think way too highly of ourselves to ever come up with a gospel like that. So when the gospel message is put out there, the vast majority of the people just flat out reject it. I've heard that here this morning. They just flat out, they can tell you, Greg, you've heard all kinds of excuses, but what they're doing, they're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Flat out rejecting it. Flat out. Goes back to my scripture. The God of this world didn't blind their eyes. He blinded their minds. That's what the scripture says. That's what it says. It's nonsense. It's nonsense to a bunch of people. It's foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is what? It is foolishness. It's foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. Dave, why would God have to send somebody to a cross to die for the sins of the whole world? Why? It's foolishness to people. Why couldn't God just do it this way? Why couldn't God just do it that way? We set ourselves up as God. You know that. That's why Paul told the Corinthians this: in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Their eyes work perfectly. It's not what we're talking about. It's their minds. It's their hearts. That's where the devil has blinded them. Their eyes work perfectly. Just like today. Just like today. We say all the time how everyone could not look around and see God. Jamie says this. I've said it before. There's no way we could go out here in this world and not see the goodness of God and the greatness of God. Right? Amen. Right? Well, listen to me. When you look at the moon and the stars and the ocean, and I could go on and on and on, and you think, man, Lord, how could you see that and not know that there was a God that created that? When you look at all that, well, I can tell you something. Millions and upon millions of folks look at these things daily, and they still don't understand anything about God. They don't understand because why? The God of this world has blinded their minds that they can't even see it. They rationalize why those trees are out there. It's all about science. They rationalize why the moon's up there, why the star's up there, why the earth is where it is. And we say this all the time. If the earth is not exactly where it's at, it either freezes to death or it burns up. And we're talking moving minuscule. But yet, they cannot see that. They cannot see that God perfectly put this into place. Well, you look around and you see, when you look into the face of a baby, good to have the baby here this morning, by the way. You look into the face of a baby and tell me you cannot see God's glory and grace in the birth of that baby. Well, you say, how could you not see God? Well, can I tell you something? There's approximately 200,000 abortions a day around the world. And these people's eyes are completely open. They know what they're doing. But yet, the God of this world has blinded their minds. They've blinded them. He's blinded. You see, it's not an eye problem. They know exactly what they're doing, folks. It's a heart problem. It's not wanting to accept Jesus Christ. Satan has put a veil. This is what the Bible talks. Satan had put a veil over their eyes. But if our gospel be hid, that means there's been a veil put over them. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what are lost or veiled. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11. This is something that God had showed me. In 1 Corinthians 11, God talked about a woman covering her hair, covering her head. You've read that over there. It's a symbol. What it basically symbolizing is that woman showing submission. They said not only to the man, but also to God. Right? So if you're sitting here this morning and you cannot see the gospel of Jesus Christ, Satan has veiled your eyes. Tell me who you're submitted to. You're submitted to him. You may be sitting back here thinking, well, no. I don't submit to nobody. Can I tell you something this morning? If you are not submitted to God, you are submitted to the God of this world. That's who you're submitted to. Whether the world knows it or not, if they reject the gospel message, their eyes are veiled. It's veiled. And are showing submission to their God. The Bible tells us he is the God of this world. Now I want you to understand this. I'm going to get into some stuff here right now. I want to talk about how he is the God of this world. In Ephesians 2:2, and I'm going to get back to the scripture later, but I'm going to read a couple of them right now. It says this. He's called what? The Prince of the power of the air. In John, and Jesus said two times over in John, he is the Prince of this world. You know what prince means? Study it out. It means ruler. He is the ruler of this world that we are in today. Jesus said it. And Paul said it over in Ephesians. And you may be sitting back there, and you're saying this morning, and this morning is referred to as the God of this age. God Almighty. God Almighty is not God. He's the God of eternity, right? Right? The devil's the God of this age. The God that we serve is the God of eternity. Yet, in this present age, this present world, Satan has a great deal of authority. Yes, he does. Don't discount that. Dave, I thought the Bible tells us this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Isn't that right? Doesn't it not say that? Well, Dave, what's that? What are you doing, Dave? Okay, listen. Yes, God is omnipotent. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. So how did Satan get control? How did he do that? God had showed me some things. In Genesis 1:26, if you wouldn't mind, turn there. I think this is important. Genesis 1:26. Say amen when you get there, please. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have, now I want you to understand this, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle. Then I want you to mark the next thing and highlight it, and over all the earth. You can highlight that. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. See what God did? Who did God give dominion to? He gave it to us. He gave it to us. That's who he gave it to. What did we do with it, Ken? We gave it to Satan. Absolutely. We give it to him. Whenever the fall come in the garden, my Bible tells me, and it said, and look what we did, we give it to the devil. That's why God said in Genesis 3:13, this is why he said this. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? We look at this sometimes, we think, well, they sinned. Yes, they did. But what is this that thou hast done? And I'm not putting the woman down. The man was just as much involved in it. But we handed that dominion over to who? Satan. That's how. That's how. He got it. Listen to me. Bear with me a little bit. And that's why when he drove them out of Eden, he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep what? Their way from the tree of life. That's exactly right. Here they were. They give up that dominion. They took the creation and the rule of said creation that God gave them and turned it over to the devil. And that's why we live in a world made by God. But guess whose value system is here? Satan's. That's why. Because Adam and Eve turned that dominion over to Satan. And the value system that we have in this world today, you think about people, you think about child molestation, you think about all the stuff that's going on in this world today, you think of how horrible it is. Listen, what do you expect from the one that has the one that is nothing but evil personified? It is his value system that is set up on this earth because we have turned it over to him. That's why we live in a world that's made by God, but its value system is controlled by the devil. That's why you see such atrocities in the world today. And you know what? I get flustered by it sometimes. I know you do. And you think, God, why? God, why? God, why? I'm telling you, it's not God's value system that's in this world. Because the God of this world has set it up. Remember this. Remember this. In Matthew 4:8-9. Remember, you know this, when the temptation of Jesus. Listen to this. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain. Who did he take up there? He took up God incarnate. He took Jesus up there, right? The Son of God. And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou will fall down and do what? Worship me. Why didn't Jesus right then tell him, that ain't yours to give? Why didn't Jesus say that to him? Wouldn't God have the right to do that? Listen to how Jesus answered him, though. This is good for us this morning. How did Jesus answer? He didn't say, hold on, Satan, that's not yours. He said in verse 10, then saith Jesus to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. He didn't tell him he didn't have control to give the kingdoms away. He said, I'm just not going to worship you. Christians, we live in a world today that is controlled by Satan's value system. But I'm telling you, we do not have to worship at the altar of Baal. We do not have to worship at the altar of Satan. What we have to do is listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to worship God and him only. And if they take me out of this world, so be it. So be it. Satan has his value system set up in this world. That's what it's about. And God, listen, have you seen that before? Have you seen that in these scriptures before? Because God just showed me those things the last few days. And I praise him for showing that to me. Maybe you knew him. Now let's dive a little bit deeper, because not all is lost. God sent his Son to die on the cross to redeem the world back unto him spiritually. Can I have an amen? Mission accomplished. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. Spiritually, he redeemed man back to himself. But guess what? Guess what? And in the future, he will redeem physically this world back to him. That's not going to happen. If you want to read about it, go to Revelation chapter 5. I ain't got time today. But at one time, he will redeem the whole world. Satan's system will be gone completely. But until that time, spiritually, praise God, we are redeemed. Amen. Physically, this world, the God of this world is still ruling. We go around and we look and we complain all we want to, but praise God, Christians, listen to me. We have been redeemed spiritually, and we answer to him. Amen. We answer to him. But until that time, Satan is the God, he's the prince, he's the ruler of this world. Value system. Listen, now back to verse of Scripture 1 I mentioned earlier. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in what? The children of disobedience. Isn't it interesting? I just thought about this whenever I read that scripture. Isn't it interesting, description of the devil? Look, now, he's the prince of the power of the air. Look at how the young and the old alike, look at this, are bombarded with temptation every day. How are they bombarded? How are they? Through the media. Through social media. Through all the things. How's that stuff comes? It comes through the air. It comes through the waves. That's how it comes. Television, radio, it comes through. The Facebook, I don't care whatever page you want to go, it comes through. He is the one that's the power of the spirit of the air. He controls all that stuff. The medium we consume through the atmosphere all around us each and every day. We are, as I say many times, you are what you eat. You are what you consume. You are. There's no doubt. And listen, whenever Satan has control over all that stuff. He has a lot to say in what comes and what's putting out there to you. You have a lot to say with what you consume, though. The minds of the unbelieving are controlled by Satan. We are talking about nations. We're talking about the leaders of these nations. We're talking about countless millions of people that live in these nations, all of which are under the control of the God of this world. They are under control of the God of this world. 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world, what? Lieth in wickedness. Lieth in wickedness. I'm telling you guys, the God of this world, his value system is all around us. And it's up to us to stand firm upon the solid rock. It's up to us. This is John talking some 2,000 years ago, whenever this scripture was written. And you can't see what's taking place in society today. We're either naive or spiritually blind, or we're both. If you cannot see what's going on, you see, Satan will use everything possible to blind them so they will not see the need for salvation. He will do that. How many of you have ever heard of the screw tape letters? Anybody in here ever read them? I encourage you sometime, get the book and read it. It was done by C.S. Lewis back in 1942. Screwtape is a demon. And he has Wormwood, who is a little demon, under him. And he's explaining to him how, he writes 31 letters to him, how to keep the person lost that he's assigned to. And here's part of it. Here's part of what he said. It's a very good book, but it's instructing him on strategies how to keep the humans he's been assigned to and how to keep them on a steady path towards damnation. One of the strategies is this little Wormwood, his is a woman, is who he's been assigned to. And here's what he tells him. He said, indeed, the safest road to hell is a gradual one. It's a gentle slope. It's soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. In other words, you're a good person. You're a good person. You're a good person. Just keep right on doing what you're doing. Just keep going the way you're going. That's the softest path to hell. And Satan doesn't, and he's telling him, don't disturb that. Let them have it just the way they don't. Don't do anything major. Don't let anything major happen. Just let them keep going and keep going the way they're going. And you know what happens? Eventually, it comes time to whether it's their time to die, and they go out of this world lost and undone. And he's done his job. And I'm telling you, this you see, signed, and it's signed, each letter is signed, your affectionate uncle, Screwtape. But if you ever get the chance to get that book, it's called Screwtape Letters. Get it and read it. It tells you everything. It tells you everything in here how C.S. Lewis thought how Satan would work to try to get people to go to hell. Ephesians 6:11. We know this. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against what? The wiles or the schemes of the devil. John 17:15-16. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world. Who's he talking to? Talking about his disciples, right? But that thou should keepest them from evil, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. I've heard people say this. Why do you Christians care what happens in this world? This world is not yours. You say that. You say that. And technically they're right. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But while I'm here, I'm going to stand for what Jesus wants me to stand for. How about you? While I'm here, I'm going to vote the way Jesus wants me to vote. And while I'm here, I'm going to stand up for him the way that he wants me to stand up for him. I'm not of this world. You're right. I don't have to be part of that, part of Satan's value system. But I can tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, there's countless numbers of those that just grab it wholeheartedly and they love it. Because the God of this world has them blinded. He has them blinded. I hope and pray this morning that you understand. I back of my Bible, Jamie's got one of these Thompson. I wanted to read some scripture back here, because what it does, if you get a Thompson's Bible, it'll tell you and take you to the back of it, and it'll show you all scriptures associated with it. It says here, blindness, we grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. If you're here this morning and you're lost and undone, you're a dead man or a dead woman walking. You may feel, well, I've got plenty of years. I've got plenty of life. I mean, no, spiritually you're dead. Spiritually you're dead. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Matthew 15:14, let them alone that be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall do what? They shall both follow into a ditch. If I stand up here, and he's talking about religious leaders there, if I stand up here and I lead you down the wrong path, and I pray constantly that I do not do that. I pray constantly that I do not do that. And you know what? If I lead you down that path, not only are you going to be lost, but guess who else is going to be lost? It's going to be me. It's going to be me. I'm just here to tell you, don't the blind lead the blind. And can I break it down into your household? Can I break it down to the very simple fact that it goes right to your household as well? If you pat that child on the head and say, that's fine, and let's just go right on with it. Blind lead the blind, you're both going to fall in a ditch. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of what? Not their eyes, the blindness of their hearts. I could go on and on and on. Their eyes are wide open. They see exactly what they're doing. That's not where the blindness is. It's right here. It's right here. Because they don't want to see the truth. Or if they see the truth, they don't want to be part of the truth. Julie, get an overhead this morning, please. If anybody has a need this morning, I ask you please to come. I hope and pray that I didn't. My biggest fear is trying to confuse people, and I hope I did not. I know I've got a bunch of intelligent people in here, but sometimes I'm stupid. And I hope and pray that you understand this morning that the God of this world's value system is strong, but we serve a Savior that can save you that is stronger. Let us stand. If you have a need this morning, please come.